And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. If you're listening to my show, you're looking for tips on how to work smarter, not harder. And let's be real, you're already working hard to earn your money, but how do you make sure that your money is working hard for you? Here's how. With a Betterment automated investment and savings app, your money will go to work. They've got technology that will provide you with advanced tools, and they're built to help maximize your returns, not to mention your time. They have expert-built portfolios of low-cost exchange-traded funds. You know I love those exchange-traded funds. There's automated investing technology, and as part of that, automated rebalancing. Many of you have been asking about rebalancing, and it sort of feels like a hard thing to do on your own. With Betterment, easy peasy. They do it for you. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Welcome to the Jill on Money podcast. It is Thursday, March 18th, and we thought it was coming. I thought it would happen. I wasn't sure when, but finally the IRS cried uncle. Yep. The IRS has delayed tax filing deadline by a little more than a month, from April 15th to May 17th. They couldn't do the 15th of May because it's a Saturday. So that's number one. All right. So I don't know if it's going to happen again. A lot of people have already asked me that, but let's presume May 17th, that's our date. Considering that 85% of people are due refunds, get it going. Just get it going as quickly as you possibly can. But obviously, between distribution of checks, stimulus payments, adjusting software, etc., the IRS couldn't do it. And I don't know why they waited so long, but just saying, it's there. May 17th, circle it on your calendars. And that just means we can talk about taxes for an extra month. How much fun is that? All right, on with the podcast. Jax says that I wrote in 5 years ago. And at the time I was asking about investing a windfall that I had received. I was in my late 20s, a guy with a young family. I wanted to make sure I was making the best choices for us. This time around, I'm wondering if I should keep investing in index funds, which have basically doubled in value since I started investing. Wow. Or should I maybe start saving extra savings into exchange-traded funds? I'm really agnostic about this. I tell you what, I think there is no reason to move to exchange-traded funds. Let me just say that. There's really not a tax implication either. So exchange-traded funds are, you know, if you're using index exchange-traded funds, it's the same as regular index funds. There's no particular reason for you to be moving to one versus the other. Usually, the reason why you would use an exchange-traded fund is because you want to start trading intraday. I know you don't want to do that because I would be very unhappy with you. It's not necessary. And especially if you're going to put new money to work, you're going to put small dollars to work ongoing, then I don't know why you'd need an exchange-traded fund. I don't know. Maybe it's messing with success. So stick with what you got. All right. Scott says, thanks in advance for taking a look at my situation. Okay. I've been frozen on what to do about saving for retirement for most of my life. I've been starting over the last 2 years to get more serious. It still makes me nervous. It's not the fear of loss through bad investments, more fear of making the wrong choice. So doing nothing becomes my choice. I get that. Come on. That is so common. We all get frozen at times. I totally understand that. Scott says he's 54, he's divorced, he doesn't have kids. He's got $35,000 in an emergency reserve fund. He rents and he has no desire to own. Good. Monthly expenses, $4,500 to $5,000 a month. His income, $93,000. Gets increases every year. Just when inflation increases. He has a traditional 401k with $90,000 with a former employer. Current employment is a municipality. I'm putting 12% into what looks to me like a pension fund. And the employer matches 6.2%. So that's good. He's got 19 grand in there. Citi doesn't pay into Social Security. And this plan is a Social Security replacement. Okay. But then he also has 29 years in Social Security system. He'll get about $2,400 a month. And then he'll have a year of the windfall elimination provision. I didn't plan well. I was fortunate to find good employment with a pension. First pension, 70 a month. Second, 1500 a month. Third, 3200 a month. That's awesome. Should I take all my deductions and get one more year gainfully employed for my hobby business? Yeah, why not? I mean, we want you to bunch your deductions into a year. Should I, with my annual raises, increase my contribution to the retirement plan? Yes, you should. Then he wants to know, should he participate in a deferred compensation plan? Yes, you should. So you should basically take any money that you've got to free up the money, and you've got to say, how much money can I put into the pension and then some money into the deferred comp also. He's going to get 50 or 60 grand in cash from an inheritance, another 20 grand in retirement accounts. I'm thinking of using cash to pay for my own long-term care. No, don't do that. There's no reason for you to get long-term care. You're single. Why would you do that? You have pension income. You can pay for care with that. You don't need to do that. So generally speaking, I see all the stuff that's happening in your life. So let me just give you a big picture. The big picture is, know when you get this inheritance, you should not buy insurance. You should not retire when you're 62. You should try to retire probably when you're 65. If you can, hold off on taking Social Security at age 70. The money that you have in these retirement accounts that are inherited, you're going to have to take distributions. He says, if I don't need the money, I would like to leave it to my nieces and nephews, give them a boost. Where should I put it? I mean, you can just put it into a regular old brokerage account, or you can just add to your cash savings. And in your estate plan, you should make a note that you want to leave some money to your nieces and nephews. He says, thanks so much. Just writing this down in this email, I don't feel so bad about my retirement. You shouldn't. You're not in bad shape. You're in fine shape. You know, you don't have to make yourself nuts either. You know, you really don't. And you've got pension income. That's great. And if you're uncomfortable with investing, you know, you do a little bit at a time. But I think you're in pretty good shape. And delay retiring as long as you can, and delay taking Social Security as long as you can. John is interested in doing Roth conversions. I don't have extra funds to support the tax bill that will be due. Does it make sense to take taxes out of the proceeds from the rollover and end up with less money? No. Isn't that an easy one? Thanks, Mark. That was an easy one for me. God, it's hard to read all these sometimes. So no, you don't do that. You can't do that. Hal is writing, he says, the subject, funding long-term care. I appreciate your podcast and the education to the masses. Here's the situation question. I'm 65. I'm not working. I'm going to delay Social Security. I'll take it at 70. Very good. Wife is 56, not working. She's going to take Social Security at 62. He's got a military pension, and they've got 900 grand in Roth IRAs, traditional IRAs, a variable annuity, and a brokerage account. We're comfortable with where we are on the road to retirement, except for long-term care. Your thoughts on whether we should or could plan for funding long-term care with equity in our house? Eventually, it will be $650,000 when the mortgage is paid off. If one of us were to need long-term care, the other spouse could downsize or get an apartment or use a reverse mortgage. Your thoughts, advice? Thanks for all you do. You're welcome. I mean, it's not a terrible plan. You can probably do that. However, if you want to, just for the heck of it, maybe take a look at that variable annuity and see whether there's some way to convert that into an insurance product that would give you some long-term care coverage. Maybe that's a possibility. But I mean, a reverse mortgage can be really easy to do, and it's getting easier and easier. The downsizing, I don't know. I always hate to do that. Like, oh, you're at this very fragile moment in your life and now you're going to force a downsize. Let's look into long-term care options, maybe not even for everything, but for some portion. It's just that you're in that weird category of just about on the cusp of being able to manage paying for long-term care out of your assets, but you're not quite there. And since if you were single, I'd say don't do it, but you're married, so maybe let's look into it. But again, if you're both willing to really say, okay, we would sell, I'd move, it's fine, or do a reverse mortgage, I'm okay with that. It's just, it puts a lot of pressure on somebody who's got to make a tough decision at an emotional time. Okay. Rick is 62 and a half years old, top tax bracket, small business owner. My wife and I max out our IRAs each year. Well, if you're in the top tax bracket, you're maxing out non-deductible. Is that what you're doing? The problem is you can't do a Roth and you have these IRAs. And you can't do a backdoor Roth because of the IRA money that exists. Maybe you could do a solo 401k, but I don't know. Small business, 62 and a half to start now? Probably not, but you know, I'm willing to entertain. Yeah, I mean, like you could do a conversion. It's a lot of work. And I'm not sure, like, I don't know how much money you have already saved, but if you've been in the top tax bracket for a long time and you've saved a bunch of money, I don't know. I just don't think it's going to work. Give us more details. Maybe we feel differently. Hey, Mark, it's another show in the can. The 18th of March is now done. Start your 18th of March on a good foot. You can wash your hands. You can wear your masks. You can maintain your physical distancing. And you can put your hands metaphorically on someone's back. That would be nice for you to do. Do that. Okay. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.